The Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As all the people were questioning in their hearts whether John might be the Messiah, John replied, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I is coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. His winnowing fork is in his hand so that he can clear his threshing floor. He can gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people had been baptized, and Jesus had been baptized and was praying, the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi, guys. How you doing?
All right. Well, if you're sitting there, I'll sit here.
All right. How many of you like bananas? You all like bananas? Wow, that's fantastic. I like bananas too. I like to have one first thing in the morning. Can somebody tell me how you eat a banana? How do you eat a banana?
You peel the peels out.
You have to take the peel off? You don't eat it just like that? Did you ever eat it like that?
No.
No? Why? Why not?
Because
it's poison. It's poison. No, I'm not sure if it's poison, but it sure tastes lousy, doesn't it? Get bitter and it yuck, right? So how do you peel it off?
Yes.
Like, how do you do that? Just do it like that? Okay. This one has a little spot on it, but does anybody want a piece of banana? No? You don't want that? You want that one? There you go. Okay. Anybody else? Nobody else? Well, we'll give the rest to whoever wants it over here. I know that Jeremiah likes bananas.
I like bananas.
Sure, come on. Come get it. Okay. There you go. All right. So, what am I going to do with this?
Don't
know what it is. Why? Shouldn't I chop it up and put it in salad or something like that?
No.
It still would taste terrible, wouldn't it? Well, it's kind of like what Jesus said in the gospel today, that his winnowing fork is in his hand. He's going to scrape up all of the stuff in the granary, and he's going to put the good wheat in his granary. But what's he going to do with the chaff?
Burn it.
Burn it. Just throw it away. Yeah. And that's kind of what we do with the banana peel, isn't it? So a banana reminds us that Jesus is saying he wants us to be the good fruit. He wants us to be the inside of the banana, not the outside of the banana. Because the outside doesn't work much. We can use it in compost, I suppose. But he wants us to be the fruit in the center. All right? Let's say thank you to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for making us the good fruit, for calling us your children. Bless us, Lord, so that we can bless others. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what am I going to do with this? Throw it away? You think so? Would somebody like to take that and throw it in the wastebasket? All right, thank you. I think there's one in there. Thank you very much. You can have a seat. Boy, I have good helpers today. I was hearing, I don't know if we've got it fixed, I was hearing a microphone that was rattling somewhere. Reminded me of a speaker who was at a podium once, and it was making a lot of noise like that. And somebody else stood up in the back and said, "There's a nut loose at the speaker." Now, I'm hoping that wasn't me. I have a confession to make today. Confession is good for the soul. It's painful, but I've got to make it. The men in my family all have a genetic defect. My grandfather had it. My father had it. I have it. I probably passed it on to my kids. We don't ask directions. Now, I can see by the looks on some of your faces that some of you guys have the same problem.
Yes.
We drive around for an hour trying to find something that we could have found real quick if we had looked, or if we'd asked questions. But, you know, why do the easy thing? We just keep driving. Well, last week we heard about the three wise people, I called them, instead of wise men. Well, I've heard some people say that if they had been wise women, they'd have gotten to see the baby Jesus much sooner because they would have stopped to ask for directions. See? Well, one thing to keep in mind about the story of the wise people is a tradition. And it's only a tradition, nothing biblical about it, but that possibly the three wise people were actually related to Jesus. Now, how could that possibly be? Well, consider that over the past several weeks, we've been hearing from Isaiah. And Isaiah has been writing to the exiles in Babylon. Now remember, in 586 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came and took many of the leading people from Jerusalem and took them down to live in exile in Babylon. Now in 537, in fact, the lesson today deals with just that thing. Because Isaiah is writing to give them comfort and saying, God hasn't forgotten you, God still loves you, and God will bring you home. Now, in 537 B.C., Cyrus the Persian captured Babylon and allowed many of the people to return back to Jerusalem. Now, the tradition says that some of the people decided that they liked it in Babylon, or what was now Persia, and that they didn't want to come back. They maybe have married people from there, they had family, or they had businesses. We don't have any idea, but some of them became educated, wise people. Educated as astronomers, astrologers, the magi. And that's how they came to be. But the other part of the tradition says that it was the Holy Spirit who pointed out that star, that conglomeration of stars, that led them to the baby Jesus. Because the Persians really had very little interest in a star that had anything to do with the Jews or with Jerusalem. But if they came from this land, if this was their heritage, it made sense that they would follow that star. And it was the Holy Spirit, remember, who warned them not to return to Herod, but to go back another way. It was the Holy Spirit who warned Joseph in a dream to go to Egypt with the baby before Herod could kill all the babies. It was the Holy Spirit, then again, we'll read later, who reminded or told them that they could return safely to the land that they came from. And today we read about the Holy Spirit coming to be upon Jesus. The Holy Spirit, remember, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove. Now, that doesn't mean that a bird sat on his head, okay? Do we have doves here?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of them down in New Mexico. In fact, we have so many that they become a kind of a nuisance on our patio. But I love their coo. And I also love to watch the way in which they just kind of gently land. You know, it's so graceful. And that's what you have to think of as the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus and resting upon him. But most important is the voice of the Holy Spirit that says, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Can you think of anything, any child, any one of us wouldn't love to hear our father or mother say, "You are my child. I'm proud of you. I'm so happy you're my child." That's what God does for Jesus. We're going to hear him say the same thing sometime later at the Mount of Transfiguration. But today, we remember how God claims Jesus as his dearly beloved Son. Now, that's something that if we have the ears of faith, we realize he's saying and said to each and every one of us. In the waters of baptism, we heard, we may have been children and not remember anything that we heard, but if we had the ears of faith, we would have heard him say, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," and we would have heard God say to us at that very moment, "You are my child. I have begotten you. I love you. You are mine." Now, what we do with that is up to us. We can put that up on the wall, kind of like that poster over there. It's great to know that we have a congregation that's over 100 years old. But if we don't do anything about it, it doesn't do anything good. If God has called you, each and every one of you, his dear child, and told you that he loves you, what do you do with it? Do you put it in a scrapbook and say, "Well, that's nice," and then forget about that baptism? Or do you live that baptism? Does it become a part of your daily life? Robert Louis Stevenson tells about a time when he was a teenager and they used to go out into the woods at night. You know, I don't know about you, but we used to love to play in the trees, the groves of trees around our house. It was really pitch black back there with the yard lights and all that. But we would go out there and kind of play hide and seek and that kind of thing. Well, they would do that, but they would carry these, what they called bullseye lanterns. And the bullseye lantern, some of you shake your head, I know you know what that is, but they would buckle them to their belts and then they would cover them with their coats. Now they said the fumes from those stunk. It wasn't really pleasant. And they would often burn their fingers on them, but it was fun because when they met somebody in the dark, they would open their cloak and show their light. That's what we are. We are to be lights to the world. We are called for a purpose. Jesus blesses us every day and says, "You are my child. Now, do something about it. Share that light." Because if all we think we have to do to be good members of the church is sit in the pew, put a little money in the offering once in a while, and then do nothing more, we've put Jesus on a shelf. Jesus doesn't want to be on a shelf. The Holy Spirit wants to live in us every day and wants us to live in our world as his little lights and his joy for the rest of the world. May we be that for all mankind. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.